Hi, I'm Keegan, and this is A Bunch of Gamers. This is our 139th episode of Werewolf the Apocalypse, 20th Anniversary Edition. Rage across the heavens, earth, and moon. I'm gonna go around and have my players introduce themselves.
I'm Tyler, and I play Kyle, also known as Guards the Low. He's a Philodox of the Children of Gaia.
Hi, I'm Sam. I play Cora. She's an Aruna in the Get of Fenris.
Hi, I'm Sean. I play Zeb, speaks in sweet whispers. He is a Theurge of the Silent Striders.
Hello, my name's Thomas. I play Dimitri Howls in Memory, Lupus Galliard of the Bone Gnawers.
Hi, my name is George. I am playing William Groves Matrices. He is a Foster and Arun of the Glasswalkers.
Last time, the Pax moved through the physical world trying to find a Cairn that had not heard about them or the child yet, so that they could pass through the heart of the Cairn and enter the ethereal realm to try and ask the planetary Incarna about the child and the Red Star. Finding a Bone Gnawer Cairn down in LA, the Pax were able to go up and meet Sirius Darkstar, a member of the Stargazers of the Sept of the Stars, a sept located in the ethereal realm. The Pax had time to regain some energy, to heal up, and prepare themselves for the journey. Now the time has come, and they must now go and dance amongst the stars. After taking some food and some water, and water given to you in a pack, and being told that your essence will likely fuel you for most of the trip, or your gnosis will fuel you for most of the trip, given that you will be in the Umbra, spare the water until you reach the realm of Nurgle, for that will be part of the test. From there, you reach a great porthole and step through onto a path of stars that spiderwebs out and cracks into various directions as you feel not wind, but motion pushing and pulling you from various directions. You see the great Incarna of the moon giving off blazing light, almost as much light as the noonday sun from where you stand, and near her the blue-green shimmers of Earth in this planetary representation in the ethereal realm. And I believe the goal was to get to Eshtara first.
Yes.
You can move along the star paths, but knowing a few things, after getting a very strong, very hard crash course from the Stargazers, you found that you can travel this by trying to use both gravity and solar winds to push and pull you closer or further from Katanka Sonak. Ride the Solar Winds is an intelligence occult roll, difficulty 7. One person does it. If you fail, it simply means that a little extra time will be added on your journey, but if you succeed, it will start to increase your speed as you move through this realm. The same is said with gravity.
I'll give that roll a try. Got 7.
I think Zeb has this one.
Yep.
Oh, never mind. Okay.
Yeah. Zeb, you start to move along the winds. You cut off maybe a day of travel as you ride the winds and walk the star paths for 2 days before you start reaching the representation of Earth, as you feel yourself steeply going down the pathway as the Starlight Bridge breaks apart. You find yourself in a deep wood, deep in the mountains somewhere. Glimpsing through the shining emerald leaves, you see a beautiful azure sky with rolling clouds and a calm breeze. All of you will regain 1 point of willpower, but the calming atmosphere also removes 1 point of rage. You then suddenly hear the howls of wolves. The howls beckon out, "Who are you? What brings you here?"
"Speak, friend or foe."
You know what? She'll change into Hispo, probably, because I'm hearing the howl of wolves, so maybe in that same language, not from a human throat. And I'll call out that we're friends. I'll do a standard greeting, and with our true names and our true pack names.
You hear the howl back as you hear a kind of growls and going,
"Stay where you are."
All right, we will.
From under the brush, you see several large wolves. Not quite hispo size, but definitely larger than your standard wolves. Their body and fur crafted of the night sky, shimmering blackness with stars upon them, and amber eyes that glow in the darkness as white ivory teeth begin to shine with a snarl.
You are Mori's bane.
And ill omens, yes.
We must test you before you can see the lady. Bear yourselves as well. She will expect a song from each of you.
A song? Sweet.
It must be a story that you have yet to tell others, and it must be true. She respects honesty and laying your burden and your soul bare to her. Be prepared. Travel. Walk along the mountains as the sun rises. Follow the wisps of smoke and the smell of eternal winter. Cross the river of blood and enter the city to see what scars our lady. If thou can cross and survive, if thou can cross and not feel the grime of indifference, thou will be able to see the glades that our lady sits upon.
We won't fail.
That has yet to be determined.
So I will need to start tracking your ways through either a wits survival or a wits primal urge if you are in Hispo or Lupus from one person in the group. Cora and Dimitri are tied. Cora, would you like Ooh. To take this role?
Sure. Do you mind, Dimitri?
I don't mind at all.
Alrighty.
You find the pathway. It takes you about a day as you do get to the river. The river is filled with streaks of oil, little grimish yellow runoff, some kind of sludge. As you see small bodies drifting away, the bodies of pups, cubs, and various animals dying too young, cracked eggs floating and then spilling over as the dead chick in a mash of yolk and blood splashes along in the poisoned river.
Ouch. I don't have this right, so I'm not quite sure how it works, but if we did the rite of cleansing on the river, would it flow through the river, or is it just that one spot and it gets nasty again?
Well, it would clear the worm taint on it, but this is more indicative of like a representation of the rivers of Earth.
Okay. Cora's kind of a softy inside, so I'd like to do something.
Now, you could try the rite of cleansing, or you could, that might do something, but it wouldn't clear the whole river. It would clear whatever you could circle, because you walk around right. And it's cleansing.
Any ideas, guys?
It could also just be that this is what we are seeing based on the history of everything that's happened on Earth, and we just need to cross it to talk to Ashtara. But this is still based on Cora being a softie at heart, so
you know, you hit it on one. I mean, like Keegan said it right, this is the visualization of what humanity has done to Earth.
Yeah,
right. So stop paying attention to it if you want, Zeb will, and then we can continue on knowing it won't do much, but we've done something.
Yeah,
shown the cub, if anything, that we just don't let this blight sit here.
Yeah, I would like to do something, even if it's just something small. And I think that's something that our Garu can keep in mind and take back to the physical realm and maybe try and help, even if it's just a small thing, because lots of people doing small things makes a big thing, you know? Make sense? Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect
talking
sense.
Crazy.
Here's what we're going to do then, in my suggestion. Save our water. We will draw our own blood. We'll perform the rite here to show the sacrifice that we would make to try to make this blight go away.
Yep.
and we'll perform the rite.
Perfect.
I end up with one success.
And only one is required, so you right. See the river clear up for just a moment. See a fish swim before passing through and turning into another dead baby barnyard animal. As the cleansing starts to close slowly and you guys kind of step through and cross the river, you continue to move on and you start getting this horrid smell. It's acrid, terrible smell. And moving over the hill, cresting over, you see a massive city, smoke bellowing from power plants as fog and smog choke the streets. You can barely see anything from here, and it will require some time to move across. The city seems to expand and move for miles.
Okay. So, yeah, we go in and try to cross it.
So as you move along, you're going to have to do a wits streetwise. Who has the highest of that?
I don't even have the skill, so it would be a higher difficulty for me.
Come on, T-Pain, where you at?
Got a 7.
There you go.
Jesus Christ.
Should be on a deep down. I knew it.
It's diff 7. R. It's diff 7.
Okay.
As you start moving through, you start getting choked out. The difficulty, thanks to Dimitri finding the least smoggy spot, you will all now have to make a stamina roll. Difficulty 4, thanks to Dimitri's roll. 3 successes are required to avoid any damage.
And we're all in Hamid, right?
Of course, I'm still Hispo. In,
yeah, Hispo still.
3 lethal, and you cannot heal until you're out of the city.
Oh, yay. Okay.
1 lethal. You can't heal until you're out of the city, Dimitri. Same to you, okay. Zip. And Kyle, you didn't take any damage. So, moving through, you see people begging in the streets, their clothes torn, their skin patched with dirt and streaks of shit. As they're coming up, food, as one's kind of going up to Zeb, shaking hands, they're thin, their gut is now bloated. Anything, sir?
I'll give them a piece of the food that I have, Keegan.
As you give them a piece of the food and several other starving individuals they look at the person you give food and they scream, "Hand out! Hand out!" Turn and they start beating on the person to try and throw the hand out as it goes, "You didn't earn that!" as they're kicking them on the ground.
Cora will, try to step in front of him and, protect him with her own body, basically.
Alright. As they beat and they stop and they see you because you're a giant fucking wolf still.
Yeah.
So they kind of back up and like, "Sorry, hey, we just thought, you know, you should do something. Like, I can shine your claws. I can comb the mats out of your fur. Like, I can earn that. I can earn that food. Crumbs are for us working. They're not for people who just asked for a handout."
Cora will... Oh, gosh. Can't talk. Cora can't talk! Cora will go... translation saying...
"Everyone needs food to survive. Whether it's you worked for it or someone has given it to you out of the goodness of their heart. You still need food and water to live. Basic necessities. We have to deal with that all the time. Like, the guard has to deal with that all the time."
As one of them just goes, "Bah, better dead than red," as he walks over and falls down, vomiting his own guts out from the poison of the streets. As you start to move on, Dimitri, I need one more wits streetwise. Diff 7, please.
All right,
so now the diff for the smoke is going to be diff 5. Stamina checks, please. 3 successes means no damage. The damage is 3 minus your successes rolled. Lethal. Can't heal until you're fully out of the city. Strong lungs, except for Dimitri and Kyle, who take 1 lethal damage. As you start moving along, you see this teen just asleep on a bench, curled up as his eyes flutter open and he gets up as you see the side on the bench has a spike sticking in him that rips off the bench. They lick their lips as he goes and pulls out his phone to check something as another group of teenagers swarm him and start ripping him apart for meat as one of them starts calling out, "His phone's better than mine! He's not that bad off!" As they start ripping out and slurping intestines like spaghetti, crunching down on bone, feasting on lungs. As the blood-stained bench paints over and the new coat of paint gives it a shine, hiding the murder and the feasting, as the spike reforms to make sure people really want to sleep. As you finally start to exit the city, the fog getting clearer and clearer as you get to the other side. Fresh air fills your lungs and you start to regenerate. In the background, you hear the howls of Banes in the city, occasionally feasting where there was murder. You all avoided it just barely. And just ahead, you see a ring of trees with the most beautiful flowers you have ever seen. The flowers are huge and vibrant before they open up and you realize that they are not flowers, but birds of various species as they flap away and begin to circle the trees as if being a calling card to you.
I suppose we'll follow them.
You start going, following the birds, keeping an eye on them. Can I get a perception alertness from one person, please? I guess, Cora, you're leading, so we'll just have you roll it.
Yeah, sure.
Div 6. As you track them down, as you get to the kind of glade and you see this beautiful, full throne crafted out of just crystal. As you see a beautiful woman sitting there, her green dress hanging, her hair midnight black, as she stares at you with beautiful blue eyes. Welcome.
Hello. Ishtara?
I am Ishtara, and I require a gift before we speak. I must hear stories or songs of your lives, things you have not told others, whether they are monologues within your mind that you did not share with any others, or events that you hadn't told anyone. I need them to incorporate them into my song. As you, in the background, you actually notice that there is kind of a hum of music, and there always has been, even in the city, and the music guided the mood and the feeling of this realm so that I can include it in my song.
All right, I'm just trying to think of something. So I've chosen a monologue, an inner monologue, running train of thought. I feel guilty. Guilty because I just vanished one day and my family couldn't take the news from the police that I was presumed dead. They divorced and I feel like it was my fault. I'm alive, not really alive and well, but alive. But I can't go to them and scream that I'm alive and they don't need to feel that grief that I caused. I feel guilty that the only family member I can tell is Eleanor. And I put the burden of this secret on her because she still communicates with them and she can't say a damn word. I feel alone, unable to share my fears and worries about this. I can't share my change with my family and I can't share my fears with my pack for the same reason. For their safety. I'm jealous. Jealous of my once a friend of mine. Well, once a friend of mine, B. She was able to tell her father that what was going on, and he didn't have to go through that same grief in that period that my parents had to face. I know that it ended badly for her and her family, and I just wish that I could hug them and tell and talk to them again.
Done. As she nods, thank you. She turns and waits for the next to speak.
For a long time, I didn't remember what had happened to my parents. I just knew that I was alone. But after a vision and meeting my father again, I remembered the night it happened. I remember the yelling as I stood on the stairs, and then I remember the growling and the ripping and the tearing. I remember watching him calm and realize what had happened and running out of the house. I was too scared to go downstairs. I couldn't see her, and I didn't want to see what had happened, so I waited. Eventually, the police came, and from there it's more of a blur. But there has been no more than a moment since then that I've felt that I had a family. I thought it might be our sept, but so many have died or left or just disappointed me. I thought it might be my pack, but I drove B away. But even with those that remain, they had such a hand in the downfall of the sept, which, even if it wasn't a family, felt like a home.
Thank you. He turns and waits for the next.
A monologue on Hirano. Gentle and wise were always his words, for Gaia rejoices in the strong and the brave. Through death could we know, but we do not care. Our prayers are unanswered. They do not hear our howls. They are forlorn and I am forgotten. For I am become abyss walker. And as I did my best as healer and brother, who could comprehend this plan? The message is lost, and we have failed.
He nods. Thank you.
I will tell you a story twofold. One of myself and one of the culling of the tribe of the Glasswalkers. Some call it a necessity. Others will say it was too far. But I say it was a job that is not easy or ever finished, and each tribe goes through it themselves. I say this out loud now so others may learn and not to repeat a genocide. Because that is what we did. We culled a good portion of our own tribe. Whether it was to protect, we don't know. The litany is open to interpretation to never suffer thy sickness, but how we handle the sickness is not specific itself. We could have done much more for our tribe and nation, but instead we slaughtered those that went against the popular ideals. I'm not saying what they did was right, because non-consent-driven testing is wrong. People do bad things for good reasons. And I followed orders like a good soldier. I followed the elders because I trust their wisdom. And I follow because I am not a leader. I was a part of the culling. I slaughtered so many of my brothers and sisters who could have repented and learned, but the ones I trusted their wisdom said no survivors, so I left none. Now there is a stain on the tribe and my claws that will never wash out.
He nods. Thank you.
And Dimitri will speak up and say, here are my worries, noble Ishtar. Fears that I have not shared with neither my the brothers of my pack or those we call friends. Our search for answers to the origins of a shadow lord known as Storm Chaser. The answers we found in Vancouver feel very similar to our past experiences with a silver fang known as Faces the Storm, who is a Garu that died in battle but managed to find a way to return through means that we've yet to know or understand. I worry and I fear that we are facing something we don't fully understand, that our stories do not have any answers, that we will make the same mistakes, and worse, trying to understand answers that feel close and are just out of reach, or maybe worse, are on a path down to forbidden knowledge of death and the realms of the dead that are best left untouched and unknown.
As you see a field of flowers appear, and she goes, pick two, each of you.
Okay. Coral go. Coral go and pick a couple. Ones that she thinks is are the prettiest.
And that there is a talent. You received Eshtara's flowers. Two of them. They're a talent. Use them wisely. And then to Cora, she goes, your song was moving, and I thank you for it. Save. And so I will grant you this, as she pulls out a stone and hands it to you, as you receive the Song Stone of Eshtara. Use it wisely, and do not fear for the future. Simply use it when it feels like the time is right.
I'll remember that.
Thank you all for your songs, and so I offer you all one last gift, if you so choose to take it. My throne can be sat upon if you wish to meditate upon the universe. It is for you to decide whether you wish to or not. It may be draining for some, and it may be difficult, so be wary.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking, yeah, too, but I'm like, I don't want to look like, oh, yes, I get to be caught on the throne. Because that's definitely not her.
Neb will, of course, bow to Ishtara. Kind of gesture to Cora first.
Are you sure?
You got us here.
Thank you. And Coral bowed to Ishtara as well, and I'll accept your gift. Thank you.
You sit and contemplate. I need you to roll a single d10. Seven. Seven.
I don't know. What does a seven do? These are always fun because they always mix up. It's not like, hey, if you roll low, it's always bad, and if you roll high, it's always good. It's always like, hey, if you roll a 1, then, you know, a mediocre thing happens. If you roll a 10, the worst thing ever happened.
Cora, you receive a vision. It is a vision that seems odd. You see a great storm rolling, moving, thundering, crashing along in every which direction as you feel yourself running after it, trying your best. Suddenly something changes. There is a blast of light and crackling thunder, and you turn around as you face a storm coming from the other direction. And Eshtara looks at you and goes, this will be relevant to you soon, I think.
I'm not a Thurge, but I'm gonna ask some of them about this.
The offer is to all of you. Does anyone else wish to take the throne?
Zeb will.
Roll a single d10 for me. Right. Zeb, sometimes too much of anything is a bad thing, as you hear the lamentations of Eshtara and Gaia herself within your mind as it burns at you and it feels overwhelming. Despair, gloom, terror fills you. After all, why should you try if the world is doomed to fail? And it's so very hard. You will now labor under a +2 difficulty on all die rolls until you succeed a significant task to shake off this gloom.
Nice.
Fitting for your story, I guess.
It is. It's perfect.
I didn't even plan that.
Kyle will also sit upon the throne.
All right, Kyle, as you sit and you meditate, as you hear the songs of the universe, or at least of Eshtara, same thing. Gloom and pain fills you. It just feels so hard, the loss of family, and it echoing through all of existence. +2 difficulty until you succeed at something significant.
I think Dimitri's gonna give the throne a try.
What a lovely meat grinder you have, my lady. Kyle's got the big sad.
Oh no!
Oh no! Dimitri's got the big sad.
Dimitri's got even worse.
He's got the same as Kyle. Both of you rolled ones. You got the big sad. +2 difficulty until you succeed at something significant.
I want it to be known. I do want to sit on the throne, but my character
can't roll ones all the time.
That's not what I'm trying to say. Is that I. Let me do it in character. Great, Tara, you offer so many gifts, but I will pass up the chance on this throne to ask you questions regarding the child that we have brought.
Of course. I was willing to give those with the throne or without the throne, if that changes your decision.
It does. I would like to sit on the throne, but I would...
Meat grinder me, mommy. Roll a d10.
Well,
No, if you don't do it now, it's just going to be weird.
Well, I planned on it. Like, that's not what I'm saying. Is that I was going to say it in character as after the questions.
Oh, okay.
So that way I don't have the big sad while I ask.
Of course.
But speaking I will go ahead and roll now, so that way...
Six gets you... Voice. You can sing with the voice of a lark. That means that you will get a +1 to your performance, no experience spent, and you can perfectly mimic a lark song.
Cool. So I just automatically get a dot in performance?
Yeah.
Okay.
Idiot, you could have had depression.
Not just any depression, but super depression.
That's what all the cool kids are doing.
Literally half the kids do have severe depression.
Yeah, well, like...
One of them isn't a kid, okay?
That's
one
true.
One of them is an adult.
The kids are not okay.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, so, please, your questions.
Tara, we were wondering... what your thoughts on this child were. The Guru have stories and prophecies for this child, but we would like to know what your thoughts were.
There are many stories, but it seems you've already made at least some decisions on the child. Am I correct in assuming?
That is correct.
I think it is tied, for when the solar winds cease their endless journey through the empty spaces, a great cry shall sound, heralding the death of the sun. From the edge of nothing, from within the center of the spiraling void, a harbinger of death shall open its blood-red eye. Destruction precedes its coming. Ruin follows its wake. This is the first death of the universe. This is the death of light. I feel that the child is tied to this, but I do think that the child should be protected.
Then I think we're on the same page.
It is a child.
The child is destined for greatness.
It is a child. It should be cared for.
Something else we agree on.
I think that is all that matters. It is new. Nothing like this has ever existed before. It is beautiful, as she places her hand upon it, and the child kind of, you know, Krynos' voice kind of laughs and gently grabs her arm, its claws not cutting, squeezing, and she laughs as it opens its arms and kind of curls up.
He is here. Is, you're right, incredibly beautiful. Something new in the universe.
Yes. Protect it well.
We're doing our best.
My deepest concern, though, is for the Red Star. I believe it will eat Helios and end Katanka Sonak and leave little light for Gaia and her creatures, leading to a great and mass extinction to which Gaia may never recover from.
And there's no way to stop him.
None that I know. That is what Garu are for, to fight these battles.
Gold is not. Yep.
What kind of fight would that even be? What is it?
I believe it is a star. Though I don't know what my siblings think. They may have other opinions on what Anthelios is.
You think your siblings have already begun to act?
It is too soon for them to act in full. They are like me. We are trying to gather. We are trying to work within our natures. And she laughs and then she blows a little bit, has a little bag, and she goes, and this is for the young one, for when he comes of age. As she wraps up and places a Gaia's breath on a little necklace and puts it on the cub.
In our line of work, it'll definitely come in handy. Thank you.
Good luck. As she raises her hand and you see the Starbeam Rhodes firing off into the heavens.
If that's all from everybody, Coral bow. Thank you for seeing us.
As you move along, you can once again attempt to use the solar winds to reach the moon. It would be, of course, difficulty 7 Inticult or difficulty 9 Inticult for Zeb, Dimitri, or Kyle.
All right, so you have 3 dice at, so Dimitri's 7 at 9, Cora's 3 at 7, William's 4 at 7.
I'm at 4 at 9 or 4 at 10 plus 1 success. I have no occult.
Have no occult.
Yeah. No occult.
All right, so 3 at 7 or 9 at 9?
I think the 9 at 9 is the most likely to succeed.
All right. May I submit a willpower for an automatic success on this roll, sir? All right, I will spend a willpower for automatic success on this roll.
William's going to hype you up so it sounds like it's a big, big thing.
Yeah! 2 whole successes, baby!
As you're like, the solar winds are this way. Why bother? As you drift along using the strange gravitational, once again, you feel like you're being blown without any wind. You feel just a pull, not quite gravity, not quite wind, something in between as you follow the roads in the eternal ether. As you start to approach the realm of Sokta, as you see that she is in her crescent shape, full of mysteries and wonder.
Ready, we shall proceed into her realm.
Is this one yours?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As you begin to move in, as you see hooded figures in cloaks of shadow briefly illuminated by what's under the cloak as it flutters. They carry lanterns that twinkle just a hair. Ooh, come.
We are Guru, the ill omens, and Fomori's bane, and we seek the wisdom of the Lambent Lady.
Are there any stargazers amongst you?
There are not.
Nod. We rarely take any who are not of that tribe. Why should we let you pass?
It would be self-aggrandize to say I was born in her face, so therefore, and he will point to the cup, we have someone new for her to meet and contemplate.
They nod, it looks over briefly, nods, and they go, you may pass. Go, seek your questions. He will return you her enigmas.
We'll be on our merry way.
On your merry way, you start moving down as you are greeted once again by the beautiful silvery soil with lush, vibrant pale green plants with moonflowers glittering with diamond-like sheen. The sand is soft beneath your feet, and you must begin your search for the Lady of the Moon, which will be either Wits Survival or Wits Primal Urge, Diff 7 or Diff 9 for Kyle, Zeb, or Dimitri.
All right, I think it's going to be between Sam or Cora or William. You want to Rochambeau for it, guys, or if Sam wants to just rock those five dice.
She's got 5 to my 4. She wins.
Alrighty.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
My time will come.
Oh, it's down for rock, paper, scissors, but okay.
I mean, we can still do it, but you're still rolling. You win, you do it. You win, you do it.
Or the 7.
I think it was 7.
Okay.
You slowly still make your it. Ways across the moon. You spend a few nights sleeping. After this, you all have to spend a point of gnosis to keep yourselves full, as you've been in the Umbra long enough to where you will need sustenance. As you arrive in a kind of oasis, you see the moon shape changing, and it is now the half moon. Standing there is a wolf, the fur dark as midnight, and the other half a beautiful silver, one eye blue and one eye a blazing amber. He looks at you all and nods as the realm seems to expand out and pillars rise up as you see what appear to be almost crinos in robes, each one holding a scale in one hand and a sword in the other. They look down upon you, and the head judge speaks in a rumbling voice that shakes the realm. Lay your sins upon the court. Speak them. Speak your sins and your regrets openly and sincerely. It is time for judgment. You all must be judged.
Assembled of the half moon, August Philodox, I have become contemptuous. I have murdered spirit in the hope of saving my friends, devoured a fetish that I'd carried for some time, and then I allowed the doubt to creep in to wonder if even that was worth it. I've begun to compartmentalize and categorize creation of that which I might value more over others. And even still, I wonder if those I have placed value on deserve it. And I wonder further if we deserve to win. And I know this is the whisper of Hirano in my ears, for the dire times are upon us. And I fear my weakness in this time. But I know my scorn and the look upon those that would sooner devour other Guru and destroy them and bring us down than fight to the end. And I do not know how, upon hearing Ashtar and Gaia's words, anything like this can be overcome.
The spirits kind of nod. One thinks for a moment and asks you point blank, if you believe it is such a worthless cause, Why do you keep fighting?
For a glimmer in time, I have seen innocence of an actor that did not ask for anything, did not demand, just existing from its moment of birth. It is an ember. I would be lying to say that I am desperately trying to blow on that ember to make it a flame. I do not know if my lungs will continue to power that breath.
One last question. Points as they point to the child. Do you feel contempt to that?
That is the ember. I don't think we're going to win, but I don't think that means we're not going to survive. And I think that child will be part of the survival in its purest form. And that is the ember I cling to.
They nod. Judgment has been given. Zebulon speaks in sweet whispers. You are one who sees survival as a great and noble purpose. You feel contempt to those you profess to love. You who wander because you are still guilty of believing that a home would be destroyed with your footsteps. You are found guilty of hubris, guilty that you believe that you are a hero in this world, not a part of it. You have lost sight that you are one of many. Judgment has been given, but these are judgments that will allow you to step forward. Step aside and let your pack speak.
William, we'll go ahead and step forward. Some of the sins I have done, or I feel I have done wrong. I've slaughtered my own kin, my own brothers and sisters, in order for survival, protection, to cull the impurities from the pure. I've been unable to reach and connect to some in order to learn why they do the things they do, and in so doing, I'm unable to teach the right ways. I have destroyed people and their property just so that way I am not destroyed or my property is not destroyed. I am not wise. I am not crafty. I am not skilled in enough so that way I can lean on my own skills when necessary. And in so doing, I rely on myself too much, which creates self-isolation. So I cannot connect because I am too overburdened with my own self. And I will leave off on that. I also feel I provide a great benefit to my own living kin, but in so doing, I'm also preying on their labor and them for my own gain.
William grows matrices. Do you believe that life is equal to property?
Yes.
Then that is your sin. You should know that the mother cannot be owned, and your constant attempts to own her will lead to your downfall. You are guilty, but perhaps you can find the path to forge ahead. They turn to Dimitri.
And Dimitri steps forward and speaks up and says, I bear regrets to be judged. Regrets that weigh heavy on my shoulders and on my spirit from the failures of my past deeds. I have lingering regret over breaking the trust of those I once considered close. I regret that we were unable to reach Bloody Snow in time to save her. I regret that I have recklessly put the lives of humans in danger, including my own life and the lives of those I call friends, in an effort to protect the child of someone I've never known or met.
Dimitri howls in memory. Do you value human life above all other lives?
I don't know.
Your ignorance is guilt, for you have walked away from your true birthright. Dimitri howls in memory. Do you think that wolves and men are apart from Gaia? They are parts of the whole. They are not greater or lesser. They simply have different impacts against others because they treat themselves as the top. Your ignorance can be remedied. step forward, but you are found guilty. As they turn, waiting for Kyle to speak.
I drove a bat spirit to death. I casually said we were Garu, after knowing it was afraid of us, and it ran from us into its demise. There are humans, including friends, that I killed in frenzies. Friends I have put out of my mind, because I found my purpose in my life. Garu died, like our den father, because I hesitated to challenge my mentor, partially out of trust, but partially because I feared his judgment. This also led to me personally hurting Garu that trusted me, and damaging relationships between my tribe and older and younger brother. When the Incarner of Truth came to our sept, Steven spoke of his fears and his feelings, and I regret that I've spent so little time with him, someone who means so much to me, that I cannot help assuage those feelings. And then, yet there is a final part of me that worries that these scales of the good and the bad that I have done will not balance, that the actions I've taken will lead the world deeper into darkness, and that I am sitting on a thousand new regrets that I do not yet know.
Kyle guards the low. Do you believe that these regrets improve your chances of balancing the scales? Do you believe that the scales can be balanced between good and evil? For does that not mean that the world can never move?
I believe they could be balanced, or even tilt towards the good, but I just don't know when that tilt takes place, when it is balanced, what side it falls on.
Kyle Garzalo, you are found guilty for trying to turn Gaia into an equation. That is of the Weaver. You must act with your spirit, for when you tried to balance the equation of trust and judgment, you had allowed harm to pass, when you could have acted with your heart and in the moment and disregarded the scales. You are found guilty, but perhaps you will see the world in various shades, and color will return to your vision as it was meant to be. This court finds that you may be on the correct path. I turn to Cora.
You ask for our sins and our regrets. My sins, though not a complete list, are as follows. Apathy, the many sins that I have committed in Thrall of the Worm and rending the Veil. My regrets include allowing myself to fall to the whims of my tribe that is being or having knee-jerk violence and judgment instead of thinking things through. And though we went through Erebus for that, in part, I still regret it. Pushing a beloved childhood friend towards the worm, blowing up a helicopter and damaging people and their belongings. Forgetting that a hive was full of toxins, allowing many humans to die while I was supposed to be saving them. Constantly disappearing on Eleanor, my cousin, and causing her to worry. And having put expectations on others, like this pup, when my expectations are not what they need.
Cora Two Hearts, elaborate upon your apathy.
For a very long time, as I said, I allowed myself to fall to the whims of my tribe. I did not consider the harm that I would do to people. I did not consider the feelings of those around me with the words that I spoke or the actions that I took. I wanted what I wanted, and that was enough at the time, and it went against who I am.
Cora Two Hearts, do you feel you are who you were meant to be?
Not yet.
What have you done to remedy the incongruity of your actions and your desires?
I have, one, taken a step back. When Kyle came to me to become our pack leader, I agreed wholeheartedly. It was not my place at the time, and that allowed me to look on and learn. I've also tried my very hardest to protect those that I love for themselves, not necessarily for me and my feelings on it, on whether they die or not.
Your sins have been acknowledged, Cora Two Hearts. You are found guilty for you still are not who you wish to be, and your own doubts cloud and muddy the road in which you wish to travel. Your human mind clouds your wolf heart. Perhaps one day you will be able to find a balance between the two. The spirits come down, the pillars vanish as they bleed back into the earth, and the great spirit of the moon stands before you. Tell me what you wish for me to know. Speak the truth and the whole truth, and I will answer, or I shall deem whether or not it is fit to answer.
Zeb will step forward first. My lady, we bring before you, and he'll gesture to the cup. One born of two Caprinos born, pure, and we find ourselves now where our fellow guru might wish to see it dead, believing it is a harbinger of the end. We come to you because we do not know how to proceed when so many are willing to twist this child for service to the worm, or destroy it outright just for existing.
She slowly nods and starts to think. She goes quiet. Then, after a few moments, she speaks up. I see this cub as Gaia's answer to the Garu's desperation. As Krynos' form represents the perfect blend of human and wolf, so too could this child represent a perfect blend of Gaia and worm, and thus end the internal and external conflict. As it is something that has never been seen before, it could also be a gift from the wild, sent to Gaia. It could aid and harm you in equal measures. You will be changed by the child, and if you tie your destinies closely with it, you may be destroyed or you may be redeemed. But if you keep the child at arm's length, then you will never be able to learn that it doesn't have to be one or the other, that it could harm and aid you in equal measure should be obvious.
One more question, my lady. When it comes to harm, there are those that believe the child is tied to Anthelios. What meaning does Anthelios and its action have to you?
It is something terrible. A lack of light. Something I feel will likely be pompous. I've already spent enough time trying to ease my conflicts with Katanka Sonak. I have no interest in this anti-sun and having to get on good terms with it or go to war with it. It's vile, and if the child's destiny is tied to it, then I suggest another bit of information. Perhaps you should raise the child so that you can see if the worm's influence permeates it as it grows older. Perhaps you can change it. Or perhaps you simply can see how it will hurt and harm you.
I don't want to hog the limelight, so what have I missed?
Yeah, I got nothing. I think you asked the question that we all needed answered, really. Wrote down the gist of it.
Somebody had one of our number aligned to Kasonka, is aligned to Katanka Sonak. We shall speak to him soon.
Enjoy.
You mention...
The Windrider has opinions.
You mentioned the struggle already that you had with him. Can you reveal even a part of what that struggle is?
He wishes to be the most glorious thing in the sky, shining above. When I came at night, showing my glorious face in my fullest form, he grew jealous and has been chasing me across the sky ever since. Now the chase is less animosity and more habit.
Thank you, my lady.
And so the star roads expand out, and you begin to climb them and head off into the great unknown. But we'll see how that plays out next time. Thank you to everyone who listened. We'll catch you in the next episode. Bye.
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 Goodbye.
Bye.